Today we continue our sermon series on the book of James called Grow Up. James wants us to grow up in our faith, and this letter was written to do just that, to encourage us to mature in our faith. You'll remember James was the half-brother of Jesus. He grew up in the home as a major skeptic. The brothers and sisters of Jesus did not believe who he was. They didn't have the angelic visits that Mary and Joseph did. But something happened to James that turned him from a major skeptic into a true believer. And then, not only a true believer, but he actually became a primary leader in the early church. So he wrote this letter to Jewish believers who were scattered outside of Judea. And this challenge was for them to grow up in their faith. In chapter 1, we learn that we are to grow up no matter what trials or temptations we are facing. James said to even look at trials that we have as an opportunity for joy, because we're going to grow through them. And we know that oftentimes when we're facing trials and difficult times, we're more susceptible to temptation. And so James' answer for us was that we need to trust God and obey what he says. And this is going to be a theme we're going to see running through the book. In week 2, we learn that James calls us to grow up in our obedience. He says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. And he describes scripture as a mirror. And as we look into it, it shows us the things that are right in our life and the things that are wrong and the things that need to be changed. And when we see these things, we need to accept God's word with humility. And we need to address those things that need to be corrected. Otherwise, we're like a person who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what we look like, but everybody else sees the mess. So we are to trust God and do what he says. Last week, we learned that we are to grow up in love. We talked about a problem that must have been present in the early church, where some people were showing favoritism, particularly to people of wealth. And we learned last week that favoring some people over others is just wrong, because it violates the character of God, it violates the sovereignty of God, and it violates the law of God. There's three ways that we can avoid playing favorites. The first is to take a good look at yourself. None of us are perfect. We are all sinners. And secondly, take a look at others. In others that we may judge that don't look like us or don't act like us, they need a savior too. And the third thing is to live with joy. And joy is an acronym meaning I live Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Kind of goes along with what we read in Adult Bible Fellowship this week in Luke chapter 9, that if we want to follow Jesus, we must deny ourselves, take up a cross so we can follow him. And that brings us to our message today, in which James is going to tell us to grow up in faith. And so I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to James chapter 2. Starting in verse 14 to 18, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. But let's start with James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing? What good does that do? You see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now some may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. So here we see James is addressing an issue between words and actions. There were some people that said, I believe, but they didn't apparently do anything about it. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you might remember this quote that I gave you from Mark Twain. He said, actions speak louder than words, but not nearly as often. So James is telling us here, how can you say you have faith when you don't have any works or good deeds to back it up? Jesus talked about this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." You see, James is telling us, and Jesus was saying this in the Sermon on the Mount, that faith needs to lead to action. In other words, when James uses the word faith in chapter 2, it's not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action word. And that's why he says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. Now, several years ago, when I was in Bible college out in Missouri, there was another guy that was here on the campus of Cincinnati Bible College. He was a very prolific songwriter. His name was Rich Mullins, and he was enamored by this verse, "Unless it produces good deeds, faith is dead and useless," and it inspired him to write this song.
It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, baby, it just ain't happening.
One is your left hand, one is your right. It'll take
two strong arms to hold on tight.
Some folks have cut off the nose just to spite their face. I think you need some works to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow, the other one just make you sleep. Talk about it, but I really think you ought to take a leap off of the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith comes from God, from every word that he breathes. He lets you take it to your heart so you can give it hands and feet. It's gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice, otherwise it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Faith without works, baby, it just ain't happening.
One is your right, one is your left. It's your light, your guide, your life and your breath.
The faith without words, it's like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without words,
like a song you can't sing.
It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Now, I don't know when you're ordering a submarine if a screen door is an option. I kind of doubt it. But that was an interesting twist on the idea faith without works is useless as a screen door on a submarine. Now, James is talking about a kind of faith that is much more than a mental assent. It's much more than, oh yeah, I believe that. Let's read more about it in verses 19 and 20. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Now, I don't know if you remember this, but a few times in the Gospels when Jesus is casting demons out of people, they speak sometimes. And look at this in Mark 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed down before him. And with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." Boy, that demon knew who Jesus was. And then again in Luke chapter 4, verses 33 and 34, once when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, began shouting at Jesus, "Go away! Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One sent from God. James is saying even the demons believe in God. That's not enough. Unless it prompts you to action, your faith is useless. The passages from Mark and Luke clearly show that the demons know who Jesus is, and it makes them tremble in fear because they know he's in control of all things. So James is telling us that our faith must lead to action, godly action. Let's pick it up in verse 21. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be made right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do and not by faith alone. Now, I got to stop there. Have you guys read the book of Romans? I mean, Paul says there, we're saved by our faith, not by our works. And for many people, this set off the battle of the first century. So who was right? We've got these two great teachers. Both came to faith later in life. Paul, after he'd been a persecutor of the church. James, after he had been a mocker of Jesus. They both became pivotal leaders in the early church. And I want to show you this passage from Romans side by side with this passage from James. And check this out. Paul says this in Romans 4, verses 1 to 4. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What were his experiences concerning this question of being saved by faith? Was it because of his good deeds that God accepted him? If so, he would have something to boast about. But from God's point of view, Abraham had no basis at all for pride. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. So Paul says here, we're not saved by what we do, we're saved by our faith. Now, let's read again what James just said in chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was declared right with God because of what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, he was trusting God so much that he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. His faith was made complete by what he did, by his actions. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. Now, wait a minute. They're both quoting the same verse from Genesis 15:6, but they're arguing different things. And this causes some people to say, see, the Bible can't be right because of this inconsistency. So, which is it? Is it Paul who says we are made right with God by faith alone and not by what we do? Or are we made right with God by what we do and not faith alone? Which is it? Well, you know, whenever we're reading Scripture and whenever we have questions about things like this, context is everything. And if we look at the context of what these two men were writing about, it's really important to understand this. Paul, in the book of Romans, was fighting the problem of legalism. In other words, people were saying, you got to keep all of the Jewish laws and regulations in order to be a Christian. So that's why Paul emphasized we are saved by faith, not by what we do. When James was writing, he was fighting the problem of laxity. the people he was writing to were saying, oh, it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you believe. So see, they were addressing two different issues. And that's why their letters seem to say different things, even though they're based on that same passage from Genesis. But a key here is in verse 22, when James says, Abraham's faith and his actions work together. It's kind of like goes back to the Screen Door song. One's your right hand and one's your left. And James says, his actions made his faith complete. And so it's really important when we're reading the scriptures not to get tripped up, not to get confused, but to recognize the context and what Paul was trying to say and what James was trying to say to the different people they were talking to. Paul talks about faith and works together in this passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. I love this passage. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, I have to tell you, I was taking a family through the discipleship training in my previous church, and the mother of the family had been raised in a pretty strict, legalistic church as she was growing up. And when she read this verse out loud, she said, now, wait a minute, David. When I was growing up, they told me in my church I had to, and she came out with this whole list of things that she had to do in order to be a good Christian. And she said, are you telling me I didn't have to do any of that stuff? And I said, you just read the verse. What does it say to you? She said, no, I didn't have to do any of it. So then I said to her, well, Jackie, should you do good things? And she said, I don't know. I said, let's keep reading. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to what? Do good works. So I said, what do you think it says? She said, yeah, I should do good things. And I said, so what's Paul saying? He's saying you don't do stuff because you have to. You do good stuff because you want to. You're not earning your salvation because Christ already paid for it. But we do good works as an expression of our thanks to God for all he has done for us. So what James is saying and what Paul is saying are not in conflict at all. They go hand in hand. Paul is talking about how to know you're a Christian. James is talking about how to show you're a Christian. If you've ever been through the discipleship training, you'll probably remember this illustration of a tree. And most of the time when we see trees, we only see the part that's above the ground, right? And so when we see fruit on a tree, we think, wow, that's pretty cool, but we don't really understand that there's a whole lot going on underground. Because if the root isn't good, the tree's not going to be fruitful. And another way to look at this is, Paul is focused on the root of salvation, faith alone. James is focused on the fruit of salvation. How does it look in our lives? And that is such an important thing. Both things are vitally important to understand. We are not saved by our good deeds. We are saved by our faith. But if our faith is real, it produces good deeds or fruit. You know, Jesus even talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20. And he gave this warning, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. And then he clarifies, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. And a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. See, it's not the actions that save us, it's our faith that saves us. But if our faith is real, James says, it produces action. He gives one other example in verses 25 and 26. He says, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. This is the account when the spies of Israel are going into the city of Jericho and they're trying to stay hidden. And a word got out that there were Israeli spies in the city, and Rahab hid them and helped them get out of the city undetected. And she was not only praised here in this passage, if you read the genealogy of Jesus, she was also the grandmother of King David. Pretty interesting. But James says, again, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Which brings up an application question for you and me. What kind of fruit is growing in your life? What's the fruit that people see that tells that you're a disciple of Jesus and the Holy Spirit is present and working in your life? Just to say, oh yeah, I believe that mental assent isn't enough. It needs to produce good action. And probably the best way I could bring a challenge to you today is with another song. Matthew West has a song that really addresses this issue, and I love. Check it out.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who?
Not me and you.
It's time for us to do something. So my challenge for you this week is to grow up in faith. Not just mental assent, but a faith that leads to action. I want to challenge you to just do something this week for the Lord. So maybe read this passage again from James 2, 14 to 26. Ask God to show you how to express your faith, and then just do it. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you for this message from James. This is a message we all need to hear. And particularly, you've blessed us to live in this amazing country where we have all kinds of freedom. And instead of using our freedom just to enjoy our life, you've given us these opportunities to spread your word by being salt and light in the lives of people who need to know Jesus. So, Father, help us feel the same conviction those early believers did in the first century. Help us get inspired to not just say, oh yeah, I go to church and I believe that stuff. Help us to do something about it this week, to plant seeds of the gospel in the lives of people as we love and serve others and bring glory and honor to Jesus. Help us, Lord, that this isn't just a one-time thing, but help us as we grow day by day, stronger and stronger in our faith, to listen as the Holy Spirit leads us to live it out in ways that can change people's lives. We pray these things in King Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
Day by day I'm growing stronger. Day by day my victory's won. As I yield my life to Jesus, day by day I overcome. There are days when life just seems too hard to face, but I know you're always near. As I trust in you, my trials turn to joy.